We continue our exploration of Paul's letter to the Romans with chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through him, through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, didn't that make perfect sense? I'm kidding. That Bible passage I just read was tough. It was dense. It was so typical of Paul. Maybe you felt that you didn't understand a thing. That's okay. Maybe you felt confused. That's okay. Maybe you felt your mind wandering. That's okay. Maybe you felt unable to follow Paul's reasoning or get his point. That's okay too. Maybe you expect that I'm now going to explain it all to you. Not okay. Help. There are, of course, several reasons why this passage is hard to understand. I think it would be fun to sit down with people over coffee and talk about each one, trying to make as clear as possible what's going on here in these verses, or at least making clear what it really is that's unclear. I understand that this is not everyone's idea of fun. One of those reasons why these verses are hard to understand has to do with Paul's use of two words, flesh and spirit. You might remember that those words came up a lot. Again and again, Paul talks about the flesh and the spirit. He names them separately, and he names them together. And when he names them together, he sets them over against each other, opposing them. Like this, in verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. And then again, in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. But what does Paul mean by flesh? What does he mean by spirit? Some assume that by flesh, Paul means skin and bodies and physical existence. And about these, he means that these are all bad, that they are wicked. And so too are a bunch of things dealing with skin and bodies and physical existence. Things like eating and digestion and sex. things like being born and growing up and growing old, things like physical sensations of pleasure and pain, that all these are evil and to be ashamed of and suppressed or denied. And by spirit, some assume, usually the same people, that Paul means a higher realm of disembodied existence where we really belong, freed from the evils of physical being. And accordingly, such people also believe that someone who in this life is truly spiritual will deny and suppress as much as possible everything about physicalness and embodiment. But this is not what Paul means by flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit for Paul aren't locations. Instead, they're guiding ideas. They aren't about things touchable and untouchable. Instead, they're about our relationship to God, either as rebels or as servants, as enemies or as friends, as strangers or as children. I like how Art Ross and Martha Stevenson put it in a book they wrote about Romans. The terms spirit and flesh do not refer to two parts of human nature, but rather to two ways of living. The way of the flesh is self-centered rebellion and idolatry. It is not the way of the body or the individual as much as it is an orientation to the ways of the world. The way of the Spirit is life in bondage to the Creator, life in which Christ is freely acknowledged as Lord. So when Paul talks about being in the flesh and being in the Spirit, he's talking about an attitude. He's naming a perspective. He has in mind what's on our mind. He's asking us, where's your mind at? Where's your mind at? Now that can be a difficult question at times. It happens plenty that I'm not sure where my mind is at. I'm sure you get that. Not only because you have seen me confused, because you have wondered where my mind was at, admit it now. You get it because you too have experienced it yourself. Yep. No good to deny it. I've got your number. Where's your mind at? Can be a tough question. Because maybe you don't know where it's at. Or maybe you do know, and where it's at is not where it should be at. This might not be so bad. In its more innocuous forms, the mind not where it should be problem is what has you turn left rather than right at the stoplight, because that's usually what you do when you're going to work, but not when you're going to fill your tank with gas. A bit more seriously, your mind being not where it should be can make you temporarily deaf to your spouse's questions. Not a good idea. Not a good thing, though, either, if you can't blame it on hearing aid batteries running out of juice, and your beloved knows that you are suffering not from hardness of hearing, but instead from inattentiveness or even a lack of concern. But in its more serious forms, having your mind in some places can lead to some very bad things. It can end up feeding corrupt attitudes that give rise to truly wicked actions, lying, betrayal, adultery, theft, violence, the breakdown of community commensurate with a famine of compassion and a flood of self-centeredness. And don't you think that this is somehow less serious than the others? These all have their origin in a mind not where it should be, in a mind set on the flesh rather than on the spirit. These all have their origin in the fundamental corruption that lies at the heart of, well, the heart, in a disease of the soul that none of us are capable of healing, in the stain that only God can erase. Where's your mind at? very often, we'd prefer not to be asked that question. And quite honestly, we're really glad that no one can see inside our minds to find out what's there. No one, that is, except for God, who knows the ugliness therein, as well as the beauty most have forgotten or are unable any longer to see. The mind set on the flesh is oh so familiar. It is all about the self. It worships power and craves success. It is driven by fear, hounded by hunger, cowed by shame. It can see little beyond its narcissism, its paranoia, its lusts. Those who are in the flesh are unable to embrace their God-given possibilities. And that's because they have forgotten their God-given limitations as they cultivate their conceit that they can do anything. And in the process, they plunder the weak and corrupt the young and rob the future and poison the culture and rape the environment and destroy their enemies, both the real and the imagined. For those in the flesh, the difference hardly matters. But the mind set on the spirit is not as familiar. Yet those who are blessed to know Jesus should recognize it. In fact, they should know it very well. It's all about God. It's focused on the glory of God, the beauty of God, the majesty of God, the will of God, all these as shown and clarified in Jesus Christ. And because of that, the mind of the Spirit is also accordingly, graciously focused on others. The weak to help them, the lost to guide them, the sick to heal them, the unknown to welcome them, the corrupt to bear witness to them, the estranged and hated to embrace them. All these forms of love as shown and clarified in Jesus Christ. The mind set on the Spirit is the gift given to those who are blessed and saved by Jesus Christ. It is that beautiful and fruitful state of being in which you can say to yourself, I am in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. It is when we can and do participate in the life of God, not because of our own goodness, nor our own strength, nor our own will, but because due to Christ's merits, and out of his gracious acceptance, the Holy Spirit chooses to take up residence in us. The mind set on the Spirit, more and more, is able to will what Jesus wills, to seek what Jesus seeks, to love as Jesus loves. The mind on the Spirit, set on the Spirit, will live in hope, not in fear, with compassion, not with lust, with love, not with hate. The mind set on the Spirit will joyfully follow the way of Jesus, building bridges, not walls, planting gardens, not minefields, forgiving old enemies, not making new ones. The mind set on the Spirit shares both love and wealth, speaks both blessing and truth, stands with God-given courage against the idols of our age, power, control, celebrity, novelty, strength. My friends, if you are in Jesus Christ, if you belong to him, then his Spirit has taken up residence in you. You are given the gracious and grace-filled potential to live a life truly pleasing to God. You are able to set your mind not on the flesh, but on the Spirit. You can, just as you should, be attentive to the opportunities all around you to live with compassion, to speak with truth, to struggle for justice, to bear witness to your faith in Jesus, to show others where your mind's at. And these to take up as a servant of Christ, which you can do because you are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. Please pray with me. Loving God, turn our hearts and our minds to things of beauty and truth that are found in the person and in the way of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be more and more aware that we dwell in you and you dwell in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.